just chapter one. And we titled that The Power of God. And the power of God we found was in the gospel. So this week we're looking a little more, how does one become right with God? That's the first question we're looking at. So we'll examine this today. First of all, we noted, how does God save? Romans chapter 1, verse 16 declares, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it," that's the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation." Gospel saved. What is the gospel? It's good news. Good news about Jesus. But if you want to put it in a sentence, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul says, "I delivered the gospel," which is what? The good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And one must obey the gospel. They must obey the good news that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose. We find that in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 9, that at the end of time, Jesus will appear in flaming fire. It'll be a great time for Christians, but a bad time for those that obey not the gospel. Those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel. According to Thessalonians, they will be consumed. How do you obey the good news? Jesus died, was buried, and rose. We know Romans 6, 1 through 6, through faith. So we move on from that, and today we will discuss that being right involves realizing we're in trouble. Before you can get good news, sometimes you need bad news. And today we're going to discuss who's the guilty party. Have you ever heard that question floating around? Sometimes detectives in games, detective games. Who's the guilty party? Well, here, before God, who is the guilty party? You can imagine children. And when brother or sister is in trouble, the other one is just delighted. Oh, they're getting it. And so they're all excited. Well, the Jews and Greeks were that way. They didn't like each other. And they were like children waiting for the other to get in trouble. So think of that. When we read in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, the wrath of God is revealed against all the unrighteousness of men. The Jews were getting And it was addressed a little bit to the Gentiles because they didn't have the law of God. Yes, the sin ramped among Gentiles because the law wasn't as clear. Yes, it was passed down a little bit, but it wasn't clear. So the Jews, you can see, are dancing with glee, but then Romans chapter 2, Paul has a surprise. Verse 1, he says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things." The judge was the Jews. The Gentiles, really, once the gospel hit them, they knew they were. So they really didn't sit around judging other people, but the Jews did. They said, "We're God's people and you're terrible. We're the elite. We're the chosen." And yes, people are chosen, but they're chosen by God's grace, not by the great things we have done. So I got a word for you here that I don't know if it's a word, but this is what our Bible professors, one of them is, Judaizers. He called these people Judaizers. I couldn't find it as being a word, but it's the word that they use. What is a troublesome Judaizer? Someone that goes out and tries to make all the world a Jew. That's a Judaizer. judgment of anyone that's not a full Jew. These are troublesome Judaizers, troublesome judges. Romans 2, verses 1 through 16. They are Jews that are not doing judges. Verses 1 through 3. What am I saying? By not doing, I'm saying, they say, oh, you Gentiles, this is what you should do. But they're not doing that. You know, that could happen today. Because some Christians get the idea they're saved, and they forget that they still sin. And they start looking down. So they can become like these Jews, where they're saying, don't do this, but they're doing it. They can also become self-righteous because they see the others but have become blinded to their own sins. So we do need to be careful. What will God do with these judges? If you look at verses 4 through 8, it talks about the goodness of God, that the goodness of God leads to repentance. They had the law. They had the promises. Everything should be right. They should be leading to repentance, but their hard heart is leading them to destruction. What does it say about God? He will render to each according to their deeds. So God doesn't care whether you're male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free. Galatians 3:29 says that we're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, he may give out different roles. Preachers have a role. Elders have a role. But as far as salvation goes, God doesn't value any person more than the other. And that will come up in the verses 9 through 11, where it says there is no partiality with God. Those who obey the truth, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Verse 8 says, indignation, wrath is on us, the Jew and the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good. The Jew first and also the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Romans 2:11. So God is not like us. He does not differ between people. He treats everyone else the same. If you look at verses 12 through 16 of chapter 2, you have a comparison of the law of Moses and the law of the heart. Now, this is sometimes difficult for some to understand. When you read through this, you'll find this is what it's saying. That the Jews who had the law weren't doing it. But the Gentiles who didn't have the law but followed the law in their heart. Now, this is a specific law. It's not talking about some magic that came down from heaven and was there with them from birth. Are people born with a certain knowledge of good or evil? Scripture says that their children who have no knowledge of good or evil, they will enter in. So it doesn't seem to indicate that. It's a specific law. What people forget is that when Moses received the commandments and it said, thou shalt not murder, that doesn't mean that before the law of Moses, it was right to murder. God gave laws before the law of Moses. People were told right from wrong. It started the day that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. The knowledge of good and evil came in. That is the law. What's right and wrong. Now, law tells you what's right and what's wrong. Law in itself, whether it's the Mosaic law or whatever, law in itself doesn't give freedom. Now, if it's a law of faith, a law of grace, then it's contained that you can't keep that law perfectly, but someone did something to pay for it. So that's what it's saying. The Gentiles, by word of mouth or whatever, the law of God had been passed along and had been there before the law of Moses. And when the Gentiles did the things of the law, though they didn't have the law of Moses specifically, they became a law to themselves and judged by their actions the Jews who were condemning them. I wonder why that statement. And then he goes on to say more that they're not going to like. Verses 17 through 24. Questions to the Jews. Why do you, all Jews, teach others not to do the things that you are doing? And they went out to the Gentiles and they told them this and that, don't do that. But after all, they were the Jews and they were the leaders. And they could get away with these things, especially if no one saw them doing it. It's kind of like going out there and shacking up with everyone around, and you figure, well, as long as no one sees it, it's okay. And children sometimes do that. They think that no one sees, but God sees. Know that God is blaspheming because of your action. So I'm getting help with my lesson today. Thank you. Guidance. But God is blaspheming because of their actions. And then he tells them another top truth. Verses 25 through 29. You see, they thought that they were saved because they were Abraham's children. Physically, that made them right. And so what he's telling them here is not a true Jew is not one who's one outwardly, but one inwardly. Oh, the Gentiles are dancing around now. Can't you see the Gentiles as children when they hear this horrible scolding that he's giving the Jews? Oh, yes, Paul, go to it. Go to it, Paul. Give those Gentiles and those Jews whether what they're needing. But Paul goes on to come back to the Gentiles and say, now listen, Jews, Gentiles, everyone is guilty. So who's the guilty party? We're all the guilty party. Now, first of all, Romans chapter 3, the Jews are very crushed. Paul knows they're crushed. They're devastated. When we read this, we don't see that. But the Jews reading this would be literally crushed. So he's got to bring them back up. If you leave a person with no hope, there's despair. So he says, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit? Or what is the profit of circumcision? So what is starting to be asked is they think the whole world is lost. Why are we even Jews? The promises to our nation are nothing. You just said that we're wretches, lost, hopeless. And he says, no. The advantages versus Romans 3, verses 1 through 8 are great. First, the Jews were first entrusted with the oracles of God, the covenant, the promises, and the blessings from one source, verses 1 through 2. See, everything that God talked about, the Jews had it. They had the covenant. It was made with Abraham. They were physically descendants of Abraham. We are descendants of Abraham by faith. But they were physically descendants. Problem is that they didn't follow what they were given. They behave worse than the Jews. So he turns around to verse 2. He says, Jewish unbelief doesn't nullify God's faithfulness. Instead, it establishes it. Verse this will cause some to say, verses 3 and 4, well, if our righteousness establishes God's grace, then let's... Kind of like Romans chapter 5, Paul is going to say, where sin abounded, grace abounded more. So then someone said to Paul, well, let us sin that grace may abound. Remember what God and Paul's answer to that was in Romans 6? King James, God forbid. Some translations may have never. Basically, it's saying, how can you think of such a thing? How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? So when you become a Christian, you bury that old person. You can't go on living that. So what they're saying here is a bunch of baloney. They're saying, is God unjust to punish? But Psalms 5:14 helps to point out that God couldn't be God unless he was unrighteousness. God is life, and in him, O God, is it all. Was John chapter 1, 5. God has to judge our sin. That's what our problem is. We all sin, and God has to judge it. And his wrath then is revealed against all of us. We're all guilty, except Jesus, by his blood, turned that wrath away. So that's the end. God is not unjust. This is how he'll judge the world. Don't say, let us do evil so good will abound. That's just absurd. And Paul has given the advantages of circumcision, but because of sin, they were not. They're guilty. The Gentiles are guilty. If you read Romans 3, 9 through 20, it's going to tell you that all are guilty. Look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? That's the Jews and the Gentiles. Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks. All are under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then it goes on to describe how sinful people can become. If you have time, take a little time and read Romans chapter 3. To 18%. I'll show you how despicable human beings can be. Haven't reached the days of Noah. You know how evil it was in the time of Noah? It says that the thought of man was evil. Pure evil. Now some of the worst murderers I know of have good thoughts. Some good thoughts. May not be a lot. May not be enough that I would trust having them near me. But it says in Noah's day that the thoughts became evil continually. Haven't reached that point, but we do have a lot of sin. Well, Jews are not better than the Gentiles. As we have established, all our understanding. Verses 13 through 18 describes the despicableness of sin. If you get down verses 19 and 20, you see that on the outline there. What does the law, the Mosaic law, do? If you couldn't be saved by it, why did God give it? Why would God give something of no use? Romans says that the law gave the knowledge of sin. Now the Gentiles, some Gentiles, had a vague idea. But the law of Moses laid it out specifically. Now they're temporary, but there were a lot of things that are the eternal nature of God. Right or wrong. See, God never changes. What's sinful and what generation will be sinful in the next. Jesus never changes. Jesus the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, as Hebrews 13. However, his relation with us changes on our maturity. And he had the law to give them the knowledge of sin. For what reason? They couldn't keep it. The law became a tool. That's the fact. As you find in Galatians 3. Talk about that going from 24 all the way to the end of the chapter. So the law gave the knowledge of sin, but can justify no one. Particularly Galatians 3:19-21. A description of righteousness, of justification, is given in Romans chapter 3:21-31. So it's right there at the bottom of the page there. Justification is by faith apart from the Mosaic law, verses 21-31. No one is good enough to boast. Justification by faith apart from the law of Moses, verses 27-28. But no, but this doesn't mean that there's no obedience. What type of faith are we talking about? It's by faith, not works, but the faith has to do something. And James 2, verses 14-26, James says, if your faith doesn't do anything, it's dead. And faith without works is dead. He said, faith without works, James says, is like looking at a person that's cold, hungry, and you just say, be warmed and filled, but do nothing. That's faith without works. Paul, as we mentioned, terms works and faith differently. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, at the beginning of the book, and then at Romans 16:26, at the end, he talks about the obedience. So what does it mean? It's not by the works of the law, because works here is a dirty word and means merit. Merit means to earn. It's a wage. You can't earn your salvation. No one is good. They had a problem. They thought he was the God of just the Jews, but verses 29-30 say he's the God of the Jews and the Gentiles. It brings out in those verses the law of Moses fulfilled the law. It fulfilled through faith, rather. The law of Moses is fulfilled through faith, but it's not nullified. Matthew 5, verse 17. I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Completed the purpose of the law. Becoming not guilty. Romans chapter 4. How do we become not guilty before God? It starts out saying, not by works of the law, it's going to be by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say? That Abraham our father found according to the flesh. If he was justified by works, he's got something to boast. What Peter said, if I can march before God and stick out my chest and say, God, I won't do this, I'll be struck down. But if I said, God, I am righteous. I am justified by the works that I do. And if my wife was there, she would roll around laughing. As I believe she would say, I'm trying to be a good person, but like all of you, I fall short. If Abraham was good enough that he didn't need Jesus, then he's got something to boast about. To be saved by the law and law keeping. That's what you would have to do. But Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. before circumcision came along. If Abraham worked, if his deeds were earning this, it would be given to him as a wage. But what does Ephesians chapter 2 say of salvation? It is a free gift of God. You can't earn it. I guess you have to respond to come to him and send Jesus, but you can't earn his salvation. So that's the proof by David, verses 1 to 5, by Abraham, verses 1 to 5. David just quotes that happy is the one saved by grace apart from the law of Moses. That's because David knew he couldn't be good enough. He had killed someone. He had done some great sins. He says, happy is the one saved by grace. Verses 9 through 12, we're made right by faith, not circumcision. When was it counted to Abraham for righteousness? It was counted to him before he was circumcised. In Genesis 12, he believed that it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You go to Genesis 15:17, he believed that it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He wasn't circumcised until Genesis 17. So it was before circumcision. As you move on into verses 13 through 25, going to help bring out that what takes place there remained right by faith apart from the merits of the law. The whole thing is showing that. Verses 13 through 15, Abraham is the heir to the world by faith, not by merits of the law. If they were made heirs by the law, then faith would be void. You wouldn't need faith. If you could be so good, you could be saved, you don't need faith. And so that would take that away from them. The promise is by faith, so that by grace, those of the law and those of the faith of Abraham are saved. 22. Abraham, that is the father of many nations, not just one. Jews sometimes thought that he was just a one. But Genesis 12 says, in your seed, all nations will be. Abraham believed God's promise that in his seed all nations would be blessed. Even though he got to 100 years of age, and it hadn't happened. He was nearly 100 years of age. It hadn't happened. His body, according to scripture, as good as dead. And he still believed. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. He believed when there was all no hope. So verses 23 to 25, Abraham's faith made him right. The fact that Abraham was saved by faith establishes that we can be saved. Are we good enough to get into heaven? No one is good enough. No one can earn their way into heaven that would demand to be sinless. If you find a sinless person, let him come to me and instruct me so that I can act better in my life. But the Bible says that all have sinned. We can't save ourselves, but the good news is God has made salvation possible through Jesus. Notice these scripture here, Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness of man, revealed against all sin. So wrath is anger in action. God, we sometimes laugh about sin, but God is angry because it's a front to him. And his anger is against all sin. But guess what? The blood of Jesus, Romans 5:9, saves us from the wrath of God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus is the only way of salvation. So I ask, are you in Jesus? It says that I endure all things for the salvation. one priest, as did all spiritual blessings are in him. So there is no spiritual blessing that you can get if you're outside of Jesus. Everything is in him, like with Noah in the ark. To be saved, you've got to get in that ark. To be saved, you've got to get in Jesus. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. How do you get in? When you believe, you repent. Romans 6, verse 3 says you are baptized into Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 27 says, when you are baptized in him, you have put him on like you would put on a coat. Washed in the blood. Way of salvation is the blood, but you got to be in him to contact it. If you're here and outside of Jesus, you can come into him through faith, repentance, and baptism. We give you that opportunity. If you're here but have sinned or fallen from him, you can be restored by simple repentance. You can come as we stand and as we sit.
935. 935. Verses 1, 2, and 4.